Right now, in the background of your enterprise tech stack, there is a clock ticking down from 47 days.
And when it hits zero, things go offline.
Exactly. Systems just break. So if you are a CSO, a CTO, or a CIO listening to this deep dive, you have likely treated public key infrastructure, PKI, a lot like the plumbing in your house.
Right, you turn the handle, you expect water.
Yeah, you never really think about the pipes hidden in the walls until, well, until one bursts and completely ruins your living room.
That's the perfect analogy.
Ooh.
Because the prevailing wisdom historically was that you set up a digital certificate, you deploy it to a server, and you just completely forget about it for a year or more.
It was the absolute definition of invisible infrastructure.
Right. The system was fundamentally designed to operate quietly in the background, securing everything from websites to internal communications without, demanding your daily attention.
But the reality check from our sources today is that this era of invisible infrastructure is, I mean, it's definitively
Oh,
over.
yeah, it's completely dead.
This plumbing is no longer just a background utility. It is currently the leading cause of unplanned outages for major organizations.
Which is a huge shift.
It is. We are looking at data showing 73% of IT leaders are extremely or very concerned about outages caused directly by expired certificates.
And they should be.
Right. And our mission here today isn't to evaluate some, new vendor product. The status quo is just fundamentally untenable.
Yeah, we need to understand the massive, silent operational crisis brewing beneath the surface here.
Because the water pressure in those legacy pipes is being dialed up to a level they were simply never built to handle.
Right. And the pressure compounding on this infrastructure isn't just a slight linear increase.
No.
If we look at the data,
So let's get into it. The most immediate force driving this is a regulatory mandate that is drastically shrinking the lifespan of certificates.
right, the CA Browser Forum mandate.
Yeah, it's an industry-wide shift. To give you the timeline, certificates used to last about 13 months.
Which felt like a long time.
It did, but as of March 2026, the maximum validity is down to 200 days. Next year, in March 2027, that drops to 100 days.
It's a huge drop.
And by March 2029, we are hitting a maximum lifespan of just 47 days.
47 days.
I mean, 47 days is an incredibly aggressive timeline for any enterprise to adapt to. The obvious question our CTOs are asking is why? Why are regulators pushing the pedal to the floor like this when they know it's going to fracture legacy operations?
Well, the underlying structural failure they are trying to solve comes down to what we can call the revocation fallacy.
Okay, unpack that for us.
So in the old days, if a cryptographic key was compromised, the industry relied on centralized revocation services to tell the world, not to trust it. We used certificate revocation lists, or CRLs, and OCSP responders. These act as real-time status checkers that browsers ping to ask, is this certificate still valid?
It's kind of like a digital do not fly list for bad cryptographic keys.
Exactly. But the fallout of that do not fly list failing is what regulators are actually terrified of.
Because of the scale.
Yes. As networks have scaled globally, that centralized list has become a massive, fragile, single point of failure. It is literally breaking under the sheer velocity and volume of modern network traffic.
Wow.
I mean, think about a global outage of an OCSP responder. If a client browser cannot reach that real-time status checker, the system faces a horrible choice.
What does it do?
It either fails open, silently trusting a potentially compromised key, or it fails closed and takes your entire site offline for every single user.
Neither of those are good options.
No, they're terrible. So instead of relying on this fragile central choke point to kill compromised keys, regulators determine the safest path is just forcing the keys to expire incredibly fast.
Right. So if a key only lives for 47 days, the window of exposure for a compromised key shrinks drastically.
Exactly. It reduces the reliance on those revocation lists altogether.
Which makes perfect sense from a pure security standpoint. But operationally, shrinking lifespans to 47 days would be a logistical headache, even for a, completely static human-operated network.
Oh, totally.
But this mandate is happening at the exact moment that human users are becoming the minority on corporate networks.
Yes, the machine identity explosion.
Right. The sources highlight an absolute explosion here. In 2025 alone, 4.1 billion public certificates were issued.
Billion with a B.
Yeah, that is a 55% jump from the year before. And that figure doesn't even account for the millions of internal certificates running inside corporate firewalls, which, I imagine are growing even faster.
Oh, significantly faster. We are seeing a complete architectural shift.
Yeah.
It is no longer just human users logging in from a laptop.
Right.
You have IoT devices continuously phoning home. You have bring your own device policies fracturing the perimeter. Containerized microservices are spinning up and down in seconds to handle load. And now you have autonomous AI agents flooding the network to execute tasks.
And all of them need identities.
Every single one of those non-human entities requires a cryptographic identity to communicate securely. Without a certificate, a microservice cannot authenticate to a database.
So you have the window to renew a certificate shrinking to a month and a half, while the sheer volume of certificates you need to renew is multiplying into the billions globally.
It's a massive operational crunch.
That alone guarantees friction. But there is a third force accelerating this timeline, forcing organizations to move faster than they ever planned.
Yeah, the post-quantum pull forward.
Right.
Advancements in quantum computing and AI have significantly accelerated the timeline for organizations to become crypto agile. The threat model has fundamentally shifted.
Exactly.
They are storing exabytes of our encrypted data in massive data centers today.
Even though they can't read it yet.
Right. They can't read it right now. But they are patiently waiting until they have a quantum computer powerful enough to run algorithms that can break modern RSA and ECC encryption.
And legacy PKI just isn't built for that.
No. Legacy PKI, which relies heavily on centralized servers and complex static hierarchical structures, simply cannot rotate credentials fast enough to survive this new reality.
It's just too rigid.
Traditional infrastructure was not built to seamlessly swap out underlying cryptographic algorithms and issue entirely new post-quantum keys across millions of endpoints.
So what's the real danger there?
The danger is latency. If you aren't building a crypto-agile infrastructure today, by the time the quantum threat matures into an active exploitation problem, you will not have the operational agility to rotate your entire environment in time.
You'll just be stuck.
You'll be stuck manually updating thousands of servers while the adversary decrypts your intellectual property.
Okay, so we have a compounding crisis here. We've got 47-day lifespans, exploding machine identities, and the impending need for quantum agility.
That's a lot.
It is. The logical response from an engineering leader is that, well, manual work is dead. If certificates expire every 47 days, you just mandate full automation.
That's the intuitive jump.
Right. You write some scripts, you deploy automation agents, and the problem goes away. But the research points to a massive secret bottleneck that breaks this entire assumption of easy automation.
Yes.
And that bottleneck is DNS.
The domain name system is the structural weak point in this transition.
How so?
Well, to issue a publicly trusted certificate, a certificate authority requires you to prove you actually control the domain you're requesting it for.
Okay.
This process is called domain control validation, or DCV. Historically, you proved you owned a domain once a year, usually by publishing a specific unique TXT record in your DNS zone.
Right.
You set the record, the certificate authority verified it, they issued the certificate, and you were done for the entire year.
It was a rare, low-stakes administrative event.
Exactly. But the CA Browser Forum mandate isn't just shrinking the certificate lifespan to 47 days. It is concurrently shrinking the window for how long that domain validation proof remains valid.
Oh, wow.
By 2029, that validation reuse window drops to just 10 days.
Wait, 10 days? So for the first time, the domain validation clock is going to expire much faster than the certificate itself.
That's the catch.
Which means domain validation is no longer tied to the actual issuance of a certificate. It transforms into its own independent, recurring, high-frequency cycle.
Every 10 days, the system demands fresh proof of ownership.
That sounds like a nightmare for manual workflows.
It completely breaks manual workflows. I mean, in most enterprises, the PKI team managing certificates and the DNS team managing routing are entirely siloed.
Yeah, they operate in different departments, often using completely different ticketing systems.
Right. And the painful reality of how this actually plays out on the ground is staggering.
Walk us through it. What does this look like for an enterprise?
Okay, so the PKI team needs to validate a domain. They can't just log into the DNS server. They have to open an IT support ticket.
Of course.
That ticket goes into the DNS team's queue. A network engineer looks at it, drafts the change, and then because messing up DNS can literally take a multi-billion dollar company offline, they have to submit that change for a manager's approval.
Right. Nobody wants to be the person who broke DNS.
Exactly. So maybe it sits in a change control board review for 48 hours. Only after all that friction does the text record actually get published so the certificate can be renewed.
But if you have to do this every 10 days.
Right. When you shrink the validation window to 10 days, a slow DNS ticket silently becomes a catastrophic blocker. The failure mode here is critical for leaders to understand.
Break that down for us.
If your DNS team is bogged down in approvals, your web servers might be perfectly healthy. Your actual DNS resolution routing traffic might be perfectly fine.
Everything looks green on the dashboard.
Exactly. But because that single validation record wasn't updated in time, the certificate fails to renew, it expires, and your site goes completely dark to the public.
So a DNS bureaucratic delay now equals a hard certificate outage.
Yes. It turns DNS from a static networking utility into a critical high-frequency dependency for your security pipeline.
And there is a hidden technical debt issue here that makes this even worse. Let's say you do manage to badger your network engineers into updating these validation records every 10 days.
Which is hard enough.
Right. But what happens to the old records? It is kind of like never throwing away expired driver's licenses. You just keep stuffing them in your wallet.
That's a great way to put it because almost no one goes back to clean up old TXT records.
They just leave them there.
Yeah. If you are adding a new validation record every 10 days and never sweeping the old ones, those obsolete records pile up under the domain label.
Okay, and why is that a problem?
Because every single accumulated record adds to the physical byte size of the DNS response. Eventually, the response gets so large that it exceeds the maximum size a standard UDP packet can carry.
And UDP is the protocol DNS relies on because it is incredibly fast and connectionless. It just fires the packet and moves on.
Exactly.
So what happens when your wallet of old TXT records gets too fat for UDP?
The DNS query is forced to fall back to TCP just to complete the lookup.
Oh, that's not good.
No. TCP requires a multi-step handshake, a constant back and forth between client and server, which adds significant latency to every single connection.
It slows everything down.
Yes. And furthermore, many client resolvers and corporate firewalls are configured poorly and will outright drop the connection when forced to use TCP for DNS.
Wait, really? So it just fails?
Yes. By failing to clean up your validation records, you bloat your DNS responses to the point of causing outright resolution failures. A minor housekeeping item is going to become a severe technical debt problem at a 10-day cadence.
That is wild. So if manual tickets guarantee an outage and leaving old records breaks your network routing, the only answer has to be end-to-end automation.
It is the only way.
You need a system that writes the record, gets the certificate, and deletes the record instantly. But the research highlights a glaring roadblock here. You cannot automate what you cannot see.
The visibility gap.
Right. The data shows only 34% of organizations report having a complete up-to-date inventory of their digital certificates.
Which means 66% of organizations are flying blind to varying degrees.
Yeah.
And crucially, 16% of organizations admit they have absolutely no idea how many certificates they have or where they are deployed across their architecture.
16%. They just don't know.
You cannot secure, you cannot automate, and you certainly cannot rotate what you do not know exists.
It's impossible.
It is consistently the untracked, forgotten certificates sitting on a legacy server that cause the most painful, brand-damaging outages.
There is a really vivid case study in the sources that perfectly illustrates how deep this visibility gap goes. A mid-tier enterprise was embarking on a modernization project.
Okay.
Leadership sat down and estimated they had somewhere between 3,000 and 7,000 certificates in their environment. Then they finally ran a comprehensive discovery process. They scanned their entire network, dug into isolated microsegments, tallied everything up.
What did they find?
They didn't have 7,000 certificates. They found over 18,000.
Wow.
Yeah. They were off by more than double their absolute worst case scenario.
I mean, that's shocking, but it's not surprising. Certificate proliferation is trivially easy today.
Right. Anyone can get one.
Exactly. An individual marketing team can spin up a web server and procure a public certificate with a corporate credit card.
Yeah.
A rogue development team might stand up an internal certificate authority just for a testing environment. Forget to tear it down, and suddenly those testing certificates are securing production microservices.
And nobody knows.
If central IT does not have a visibility tool actively scanning inside that specific network segment, those certificates remain completely invisible until they expire.
Let's talk about the economic reality of this sprawl. Because a manual renewal process is not just, you know, clicking a button.
Well, not at all.
An engineer has to generate a certificate signing request, log into the CA portal, manually copy the new key, SSH into the server, update the configuration files, coordinate with the load balancer team, and manually test the endpoints.
It's incredibly tedious.
The sources estimate that, end-to-end, a single manual certificate renewal consumes roughly 1 hour of top-tier engineering time.
1 hour per certificate.
So when you apply that math to 18,000 certificates, renewing every 47 days, the operational burden becomes physically impossible.
You would need a massive, dedicated army of engineers doing nothing but generating keys and copying text files all day long.
Engineering hours wasted on manual renewals are hours taken directly away from actual security work.
Exactly.
They are hours stolen from threat hunting, from zero trust architecture design, from proactively securing AI models. It is a massive drain on your most expensive talent. You are basically paying senior engineers six-figure salaries to act as human routers for text files.
And the root cause allowing this to happen is a core organizational failure. As the research puts it, everyone uses PKI, but no one owns it.
Right, the ownership crisis.
When surveyed, organizations overwhelmingly point to the CISO as the final decision maker for PKI strategy. But the daily management, the actual operational burden of tracking and renewing, falls into the gray area between the CTO's engineering teams and the CIO's IT operations teams.
And because ownership is diffuse, the system of record defaults to the lowest common denominator, which in most enterprises is still a static spreadsheet.
A spreadsheet.
Right. We're talking about securing autonomous AI agents and preparing for nation-state quantum computing attacks, and the foundational identity system holding the entire enterprise together is being cracked on a manual spreadsheet.
It is a massive compounding liability.
But, yeah.
When ownership is split and teams rely on disconnected tools and tribal knowledge to track their infrastructure, certificates inevitably fall into the gaps.
Yeah.
They become unowned, they go invisible, and eventually they expire and take a critical revenue-generating system offline.
So let's synthesize the reality of everything we have covered here, because the executives listening need to know exactly what is coming.
Right.
You have certificate lifespans aggressively shrinking to a 47-day maximum. You have a DNS validation loop that will require proof of ownership every 10 days.
Yep.
You have massive visibility gaps where you likely have double the certificates you think you do, all while navigating an explosion of machine identities stretching your infrastructure to its breaking point.
The conclusion from the data is authoritative and unavoidable.
What's the bottom line?
The shift from a manual reactive posture to an automated proactive one is no longer just a nice-to-have IT upgrade. It is not a project you can push to next year's budget cycle.
It's mandatory.
Automation is the absolute baseline. It is the only operating model that will be allowed by the new regulatory realities.
So what is the tactical path forward? How do organizations actually survive the 47-day and 10-day mandates without burning out their engineering teams?
Organizations must transition to API-driven credentialed DNS changes.
Okay.
The automation must be able to securely authenticate to your DNS infrastructure, provision the validation record, and instantly tear it down once validated, completely removing the human from the loop.
But earlier we talked about how network engineers are fiercely protective of DNS. They do not want an automated PKI tool having broad access to edit the entire primary DNS zone.
Right, which is completely understandable.
So to handle that friction, the sources highlight an emerging architectural pattern called delegated validation. How does that solve the problem?
Okay, so you create a CNME record, which is essentially just an alias that points one domain name to another.
Right.
You create the CNME for a very narrow, specific label in your DNS zone, and you point it to a dedicated automated validation service.
So it's contained.
You are essentially carving out a tiny sandbox. You hand over just that narrow slice of DNS activity to keep the 10-day cycle running automatically without ever exposing your primary authoritative DNS zone to the automation credentials.
That is brilliant. It successfully decouples domain validation from full DNS ownership.
Exactly. That solves the security friction while enabling the raw speed required for a 47-day world.
And there is a massive upside to getting this right. It isn't just about avoiding regulatory pain.
No, there are real operational benefits.
The data shows that organizations that have already modernized their PKI, who have achieved complete visibility and API-driven automation, report a 60% reduction in certificate-related outages.
A 60% reduction is huge.
It's a massive return on investment for operational resilience.
It really is. It's the stark difference between running a modern resilient enterprise and constantly scrambling to fight fires you can't even see until they're already burning.
We want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The clock on this operational shift is already ticking, and the time to start building visibility and automation is right now. before the 47-day mandate hits.
And, you know, to leave you with one final urgent scenario to ponder as you evaluate your architecture.
What should they be thinking about?
We talked earlier about the explosion of AI agents. Think about the mechanical flaw of legacy PKI. A legacy system trusts a key based purely on the math, regardless of who or what is actually holding it.
Right.
What happens when an autonomous AI agent, or even just a malicious script, scrapes a static private key from a forgotten, unmonitored configuration file?
The system wouldn't know the difference.
Exactly. The legacy system will trust that stolen key perfectly. As you rebuild your infrastructure to handle this new velocity, ask yourself, are your machine identities actually bound to their real-time context, like hardware fingerprints and geolocation, or are you still just blindly trusting whoever managed to copy the key?
It all comes back to the plumbing. You can upgrade the pipes to handle the new pressure, but if you don't actually know where the water is flowing, you are still going to end up flooding the house. Thanks for listening.